All right, lawyer talk off the record on there, where we are bringing you last week's news today.
Yes.
Maybe next week. I don't know. We talked about a lawsuit. I don't know if this one made fit. Anyway, we talked about a lawsuit involving this Chase guy who's claiming all sorts of, let's say, spurious accusations against his supervisor at Chase Bank, some woman who apparently was harassing him.
An executive at Chase Bank.
An executive. A very powerful woman was taking advantage of this man and with all sorts of, you know, all the trimmings of a sexual harassment suit under Title VII. Things like suggestive text messages or...
I love that your balls don't taste like curry, I think is one of the quotes.
That, I think, would be considered an offensive, hostile work environment under Title VII for sure. At any rate, we did a show on this. We released it in the podcast form. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, by the way, you really should. I mean, you get the feed, you get everything. If you're just watching on Facebook, we love you. It's great. But if you want to just, you know, when you're driving in your car or you listen to your pod, whatever it is, you can get your Lawyer Talk fix wherever you get your podcast fix. Anyway, we released some audio. We released the audio version of our show, and we were talking about this and how Title VII worked. And then the next day it comes out, wait a minute. This may not be completely true, and the plaintiffs actually withdrew the lawsuit, and everybody goes ballistic saying it was all bunk, it was all nonsense, it didn't really happen, it was made up. And I'm not sure that's exactly what's going on. But, you know, I think Joe Rogan ripped this guy or ripped the, you know, whatever. But here's what I think I can glean what's going on. The plaintiffs, meaning the guy suing Chase, after our show, where we were giving you yesterday's news 2 weeks later, withdrew the lawsuit for procedural reasons. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe they didn't make an, they didn't allege something that they had to allege in order to have a valid pleading. You know, you file a lawsuit, it has to include things like a jurisdictional statement and some other accusation. You know, who knows? It's got to state a cause of action, and maybe they just wanted to amend it. But for their part, Chase was all over this.
Yeah.
I mean, they were saying, nuh-uh.
And I think it's, I think the correction language, at least this is what I'm just guessing, is
It was refiled.
Yeah, it was refiled. I think it's just their way of saying amended, though. We use that language here in Ohio. I don't know if that's different there, but I that's what I just feel like is going on. It's just something very slim and procedural. That's my guess, because it's sealed. We can't tell.
Oh, I can't read it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fun.
I know. This would be a lot easier if it was just unsealed.
Right. That's no good. Anyway, they filed an amended complaint, meaning they added something, they took something away, they fixed something, they refiled, and now we're back in action. So the case goes on. And again, Chase, for its part, comes out strong on this, saying, look, we did a complete internal investigation. By the way, plaintiff didn't participate in it at all. He didn't tell us anything. And we have found zero evidence suggesting any of this stuff. And, you know, their investigation, typically what happens is a company like Chase will hire outside company to come in and do an investigation. And maybe they did it in-house with their own human resources department. And they probably looked at things like emails, text messages, whatever, you know, interviewed witnesses, and didn't find any evidence of this. So the story goes on.
I think a lot of people look at the Chase offering a $1 million settlement before this happened, like before litigation. I mean, I don't view that as automatic Chase guilt. At the end of the day, they didn't want headlines like this hitting.
Yeah.
And now look what happened.
Well, this is a good point to bring up here. You know, we may have talked about nuisance value at some point, I think in the last.
Yeah.
At any rate, Chase offered to settle this. That means they gave this guy an offer to say, look, you go away, bye-bye, here's $1 million. And by the way, you're fired too. That would be a termination with non-disclosure agreements, the whole nine yards. You're gone. Here's $1 million. Why would Chase do that?
Because they don't want one of their executives' names getting thrown across headlines being basically—
Talking about your balls taste like curry?
Yeah. Right. Or your fish head wife doesn't have cannons like these. Some absolutely just insane headlines that just— took over the internet for an entire day.
Yeah, you don't want to be the star. But there's another reason. You know, lawyers tend to charge exorbitant fees to defend such lawsuits. We can break that down some other day. But, you know, Chase probably has insurance and a legal team and everything, the whole nine yards. and they would go hire a big law firm. And the big law firm would say, fine, we'll take it to the tune of $2,000 an hour. We're going to represent you, Chase, and then probably individually somebody's going to have to represent the defendant, this woman. And that adds up fast. It adds up really fast. So part and parcel with what you're saying, which is Chase doesn't want the negative publicity. And by the way, I don't care if Chase gets sued for it wouldn't make a hill beans difference for my bank accounts if I had banks with or if I had accounts with Chase. But maybe who knows? Maybe somebody's out there saying those dirty, rotten sexual harassers. I'm moving my accounts over to KeyBank or something. But Chase, you're right. Chase doesn't want the publicity, and the legal fees are quickly going to eclipse $1 million settlement if you throw all that into the milkshake. You're wondering why people hate lawyers, because you would be thinking $1 million to defend that case. Well, it adds up.
Yeah.
Adds up fast. And then if you go to trial, you have exposure. You have risk of exposure. You know, it could be that you go to trial and get stung with a big verdict. So you've paid all this money to the lawyers. You've taken all the time to defend the case, and you still get whacked with a multi-million-dollar loss or a multi-million-dollar verdict. It's easier just to pay the guy and say, go away. And incidentally, this happens all the time, and we see it in what context in our practice? Not with sexual harassment, but lawsuits getting settled and people don't like it.
I say like CPOs?
Or? Car crash.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Somebody comes to me. This happened just a few weeks ago. Somebody came to me. This person was in a car crash and was accused of running a stop sign. And my client said, nuh-uh, I did not run that stop sign. In fact, I stopped, I looked, and this other car came from something. There was some defensible claim to it. Mm-hmm. But the insurance company got involved. My client's insurance company got involved and talked to the other insurance company. And my client's insurance company said, look, we don't care either way, because it's going to be easier for us just to write this check and take liability. So they wrote the check for the damage. Sometimes even the personal injury, if they can settle that quickly, the insurance companies will settle, even though you think you're the person who accused of making the mistake while driving. You take that very personally. Mm-hmm. You think this is nonsense. You know, I had my signal on, or that person ran the red light and I didn't, whatever it is. Your insurance company settles anyway because they don't want the hassle of it. And a lot of times it's just cheaper to settle the case, not fight the case, lay off risk by saying, here's $10,000 instead of risking losing $100 in a verdict, or spending $100 on legal fees. It's a lot easier just to write the check and be done. This is why, by the way, if you're in an accident and you get hurt, you should call us and we'll get you in the right place. But don't sign stuff, because insurance companies love to settle cases fast because it gets it off their books. Hospitals love to have you sign stuff fast, because what you're really signing with a hospital is an agreement to assign all your insurance recovery rights to the hospital to pay your medical expenses, when later we might be able to go in and negotiate those lawyers. Anyway, that's a Goldstein, a PI lawyer's question. But yeah, don't sign anything, because there's a reason they want you to sign something. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the question, it may be that this woman is incensed, saying, look, I don't want my good name dragged through the mud here, saying I was making all these horrible comments to this guy. I didn't know this guy. I didn't care about this guy. I got a family. I got a husband. I got kids. I don't need to. I want to be vindicated in court. Mm-hmm. But Chase and the insurance companies are saying, yeah, we don't care. It's going to cost us $5 million to defend it. We could sell it for $1 million, and then we have no risk. That's what we're going to do. So like it or not, you're in a car crash, your insurance settles, and you're thinking, and in the case we're talking about, by the way, just to give it the footnote, we won the case. Mm-hmm. We go to court and win. Insurance still paid. You heard it here second, probably, yes, because we are again giving you yesterday's news next week. This is Lawyer Talk, following up on the Chase lawsuit, and we'll continue to check back in on this one. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.